Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 28, 2016. Turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, our email address is over there, so if you need a prayer request, you don't want to call or whatever, you would like us to print it out, take it to the ministry church, anoint it with oil, and mail it back to you, then send us one by email or United States Postal. No obligation for a donation or anything like that, and we will not send you any kind of solicitation for money. But we will anoint it with oil and pray over it for you. So that's just another option. Remember, all those things can be found at prophecyhour.com. And we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So please pray about supporting our airtime. And remember, our archives, a link to our archives, can be found at branch.podomatic.com or at prophecyhour. Well, branch.podomatic.com is the archives, but prophecyhour.com has a link to it. It says End Time Radio Archives. And, you know, there's lots of apps over there for that, so go over and check it out. Please share these programs with other people. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide. I try to list different countries. I haven't had a chance to this week, but I will still thank the folks over there in the United Kingdom and Ireland and Guyana and Iran. Iran, really, they listen to me in Iran. Israel, Russia, Moscow. Wow, these people are different. They're listening to America. Maybe they want to see if we're going to talk about them. I don't know. Brazil, as well as many cities right here in the good old USA, like Detroit, Michigan, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Atlanta, Georgia, Houston, Texas, Chandler, Arizona, San Jose, California, which is a state I was born in, but I haven't been there since I was. We won't go into that. Anyway, Columbus, Ohio, Town and Country, Florida, as well as many, many, many others. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas, where our biggest group of listeners are, and you folks that listen in Wichita, I challenge you to stop by the Wichita Mission Church and see what we do in your city. And I appreciate the help that we do get help from a gentleman out over there. I won't give you any information about him, but I will say that we appreciate you, brother. And he just delivered some food and a donation last Tuesday. And anyway, we're really thankful for you, and so thank you for the help. But anyway, folks, I got something else for you. Scientists have now discovered that there is a bright flash of light when an egg, a human egg, is fertilized by a sperm. Well, truly, life begins at conception, and it makes you wonder if that's not even maybe the father putting his spirit in at that point. I don't know. But try life really does begin at conception, and it's really amazing to see this. You can Google it and find it. It's in what I have links to it in my articles over at prophecyhour.com, which has all of the latest break, most of the latest breaking news in it, and there is a link in it someplace if you go through it. But isn't that amazing? A bright flash of light when those two come together. Wow. So, you know, babies are being killed in this country or being slaughtered through abortion. I believe that is, that calls for judgment. How long can the father turn his back off killing human beings and little tiny innocent babies? And yes, you folks out there, some have asked me, and I'll tell you, yeah, I would still vote for Donald Trump. I don't have time to get into him tonight. And as maybe he might help postpone some of this judgment that's coming on this country for a short while. But I really know that we're in the time of the end and things are looking good. But you know what? He could also do the opposite. He could bring the whole world down on us. Anyway, now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And I just thank you for everything, Father. Bless us tonight with your presence so that what comes out is what you want to come out and not what we want. And please give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, he served 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in a ministry. By that introduction, you probably already know who I'm talking about because he comes on about once a month. In the last several years, Steve Henderson has been called into the area of teaching prophecy. His ministry, the Sure Word of Prophecy, which is the surewordofprophecy.org is his website, has a mission to help believers to understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua, and to provide an unarguable presentation to unbelievers that there is indeed one who knows the end from the beginning. And can you all guess who knows the end from the beginning? In his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, and atheists, providing them with the evidence they need to turn them into a saving faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Wow, that's just fantastic. I really wish or pray that the church would get on fire, because there's so many that proclaim to be in a church. Let alone look at all these mega churches on Sunday. How many people are cramming inside? You know, you would think that, you would pray that, as I do, that they'd come out and do the ministry work on the other days of the week. I mean, you know, anyway, tonight he'll speak on, well, I'm not sure what he's going to speak on tonight. So let's just welcome back Steve Henderson, and we'll ask Steve. Steve, what are you going to speak on tonight?
Hey, Pastor Dan. The Bible implores us to greet one another with a holy kiss, but because this is not possible, I'll just bless you, brother. A big howdy from Oklahoma, USA. How are you?
Well, pretty good, amen. And maybe this time I'm glad I'm on the air and not in person.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, I just say that. Amen.
I believe that you have such an awesome ministry, brother. I just want to commend you again for your ministry and for your invitation to be on your program again tonight. Well, I'd like to share with your listening audience some vital information regarding a movement that has been active for quite some time, and it's gaining momentum for what I believe will usher in a system of oversight which will subjugate everything under its sinister dominion. We find that in the book of Revelation. And on its surface, this mindset of global peacemakers appears to be the only way to solve the imminent, troubling, and very perplexing problems that our planet Earth is facing. So, underneath the surface, there is an overpowering riptide that will sweep the unaware out to the depths of eternal loss. And sure enough, I believe it's here, brother. What about you?
Yeah, I absolutely do believe. I believe we're in that time of the end, and it's just going to speed up and speed up and speed up. So, anyway, back to you.
Well, the title of the message is Oneness, the Power and Strength Behind the Beast. Last time I spoke with you, we spoke a little bit about at a certain time in the prophecies, the world will get together under the auspice of a beast-like character with seven heads and ten horns. And so a long time ago, when I examined the prophecies related to the end of days, I began to develop a picture and envision what I should be keeping my eyes open on the world scene. I, I think that if you understand the scriptures, then you know what to look for. If you don't understand, then you have no idea what to watch for. So because of my understanding of the book of Revelation in chapter 17, this beast will be supported by a oneness in some point in time. And the scripture declares that these will have one mind and will give their strength and power to the beast. So I have been looking at these various movements for a long time that which fit the prophecy, watching those who have been promoting unity and oneness. And my findings, they are all over the place, brother. And today, we need to be aware that there's some major shifts taking place from secular-mindedness to the religious and spiritual mindsets that are moving us all in a certain direction. And, brother, we are heading somewhere.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree.
To illustrate this, I'd like to start out, if you don't mind, by reading a portion of an article put out just last week from the Huffington Post entitled American Religion Has Never Looked Quite As It Does Today. And the subtitle says, based on these trends, the future of religion in America probably isn't church. A new religious group has emerged, and then this article goes on to say this. In 1948, Gallup found that 91% of Americans identified themselves as Christian. That number took a big dip in subsequent decades and continues to decline in recent years. From 2007 to 2014 alone, the percentage of Americans who identified as Christian fell from 78% to 70%. Then the article continues on to kind of substantiate my findings. It says this. The term spiritual but not religious has emerged in recent years to describe how more and more the Americans identify. Yes, religious affiliation has declined, but feelings of spiritual peace and well-being, wonder about the universe, both have significantly increased in the last decade across religious and non-religious groups. Even among the unaffiliated and those who say religion isn't particularly important to them, spiritual sentiment is strong and growing. And more than half of atheists say that they regularly feel a sense of awe and wonder. And between 2007 and 2014, the percentage of atheists who say they felt a deep sense of wonder about the universe on a weekly basis rose from 17 points to 37 points to 54%. And I find that quite interesting, brother. Even the atheists are beginning to see a deep sense of wonder here. Now I get to gain these facts, I'm not sure. This is off of the Pew Research, I believe. But then he goes on to say, in 1965, the Catholic Church took a huge step for interfaith relations by publishing a document that acknowledged divine origin of all human beings. In the decades after, interfaith engagement exploded in the United States, and was, I think, was referred to as the ecumenical movement, wasn't it, brother?
Yes.
But with the founding of these countless organizations and conferences dedicated to multi-faith dialogue, the Council for the World's Religions, formed in 1988 in the spirit of the first interfaith convention that occurred a century earlier, and groups like Interfaith Power and Light, Interfaith Youth Corps, and others emerged to usher in a new millennium of interfaith work. And from spiritual gurus to self-help books to wellness retreats, the market for spirituality in the U.S. has perhaps never been so robust. The self-help industry, which often include alternative modes of spirituality, along with motivational books and life coaching, brings $13 billion a year in the form of books, retreats, classes, and more than that. In the last 50 years, modern spiritual gurus like Deepak Chopra, Dr. Andrew Weil, Ram Dass, Eckhart Tolle, Oprah Winfrey, Byron Katie, Marianne Williamson, and countless others emerged with a new prescription for well-being. Yoga became a $27 billion industry with more than 20 million practitioners, and in the United States, meditation and mindfulness were quick to follow, gaining fans among major companies like Google, General Mills, ADMA, and Goldman Sachs. Pastor Dan, this trend is moving front and center in the forefront of a very incredible, fast-moving movement. Have you been keeping an eye on it?
Yes, and I got something to say about it. I was just waiting for my opening. Anyway, folks, what we are seeing, in my belief, in my heart of hearts, what we're seeing is because this time of the end is getting near, not only will everybody say, well, there's going to be a great revival, it's going to be like the book of Acts. Well, okay, I do believe that there's going to be a lot of people saved soon. But the first thing that you're going to see is the demonic presences coming more forth. In other words, the Satanistic type spirit is out there influencing more and more groups, and that's the spirituality behind these things. It is to bring Satan, the devil, in. It's not to bring Yeshua in. But it will inevitably accomplish that. But I believe that spirit of Satan is, or not, well, he's not a like the Father is, but, you know, he has a lot of fallen angels with him, so to speak. But, yes, that's the spirit that's moving in the world today, because he is the God of this earth, as the Word says. Back to you.
Yes, brother. And it's high time to keep on alert, because it's moving quickly. Because everyone feels and lives and sees the conspiracy of, you know, so many people. They're at the point of helplessness. Nightly news is playing on a daily basis, bad news, and everything just becomes so unpredictable in our world. People are beginning to realize that materialistic pursuits cannot bring happiness. One day it's here, and the next day a tornado hits it. One day you wake up and find yourself in an emergency room. Things are just falling apart, brother, and you can't go to school, work, college, or church anymore and feel safe from crazy gunmen. Earthquakes are going rolling underneath us. Drought is bringing many to famine, and many who are suffering with cancer, heart disease, and other sicknesses take out millions each year without little warning. And religious zealots are going around cutting heads off in the name of their God. Things cannot continue to be called normal now, because we are truly living in perilous times. And we must, brother, stand united to change the status quo. And there's a strength in numbers, from what I understand. And we must unite to make this change. And this is a common mindset that's coming to the forefront of our world. We recognize there's some serious issues that we have to contend with. And if everyone does his part, it can be a moving force for the betterment of a civilized world gone crazy. What I find interesting is that there are lots and lots of groups that are emerging on a world platform, and they're looking for an anchor from life's storms, right. and they're providing a platform for the materialistic to turn to the spiritual, attempting to find answers and find a place of safety. And as I stated in that article above, everyone seemed to be jumping on the bandwagon, and it's becoming very obvious that there's a movement growing that is standing up and joining together as one in searching for answers on how to create change that will bring security to their life. And they're looking to the religious leaders, and some in the guise of religious, and some under the label of spiritual, to unite and become one and start speaking out against a broken system. I think we even see that happening here in America, don't we, brother? That's why Mr. Trump is becoming more popular. He's speaking out against status quo, and it needs right. fixing. And I truly believe that myself.
Well, you know,
and so people are uniting.
Let me say this, just because you brought his name in. You know, if a person just looks at the things and the people that are attacking Trump, and I'm not saying that he's some kind of saint or anything like that, but what I am saying, though, is that the people, the status quo, the people that have been running this country, if you see the anger and the things that they've been saying about him, like, well, I don't like Trump because he doesn't take anybody's money. Well, that means that everybody else has been taking their money, and they have been bribing their way. And then he shows through the elections that people didn't even get a vote, so on and so on and so forth. You see all this madness coming against him, and so it is exposing a lot if people would just look. And the other thing that I'm crazy about, and I'm going to mention this as much as I can, I'm just insanely going crazy over the women, the bathroom issue. End of story. The bathroom issue. I need to protect our little girls and little boys. This is just ridiculous. But that shows you how 10 years, I don't think 10 or 15 years ago, in any way, shape, or form, that we would have accepted something like that. How can we accept that? We've been under 8 years of leftists and an administration that has pushed us that far that makes people afraid to speak out. Anyway, I'm done on my bandwagon for that. Back to you.
Well, brother, it's just pretty evident that we're in a cesspool and getting deeper and deeper in it. Yeah. So people are uniting on a common ground to try to fix things. And the moving force behind this unity is the word unity. And this is a huge word coming out of the United Nations at this moment. When we begin to examine the concepts they're promoting right now, how can anyone speak out against unity? I mean, it sounds good. It comes across as a very proper message that's going to help people to come together on common ground. And let me share with you just a little bit of an article that speaks about a dialogue that they promoted entitled Respect for Diversity, Peaceful Dialogue Essential, Secretary General Stresses in Message for World Interfaith Harmony Week. The article says, following is UN Secretary Ban Ki-moon's message for World Interfaith Harmony Week. And it says this, the first World Interfaith Harmony Week is an opportunity to focus global attention on the efforts of religious leaders, interfaith movements, and individuals around the world to promote mutual respect and understanding between followers of different faiths and beliefs. These partners play an indispensable role in supporting United Nations efforts for peace. In proclaiming its observance, the United Nations General Assembly encourages all states to use the first week of February to spread the message of interfaith harmony and goodwill in the world's churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, and other places of worship based on love of God and love of one's neighbor, or on love of the good and love of one's neighbor, each one according to their own religious traditions and convictions. It continues on. Respect for diversity and peaceful dialogue are essential if the human family is to cooperate globally to face shared threats and seize common opportunities. This is why efforts by states, civil society, and other actors to build trust among communities and individuals lie at the heart of so many under the United Nations initiatives, from the Alliance of Civilizations to our wide-ranging work to protect human rights, promote social cohesion, and build a culture of peace.
Now, okay, well, I got to break in. We're going to go to break here in about 30 seconds, so we need you to give your website real quick, and then we'll go to break and come back.
Okay, website surewordprophecy.org. If you like prophecy, you might want to go over there and check it out.
Surewordprophecy.org, and of course, folks, wherever this appears in podcast, or you go over to my website, prophecyhour.com, there will be a direct link to it, and he has a lot of things over there to look at. There is other videos and all kinds of things, so go check him out. That's Steve Henderson at surewordprophecy.org, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And we are coming to you live, broadcasting out of the Flint Hills of Kansas. Really, I like the Flint Hills, you know. Other parts of Kansas is basically flat, you know, but I really love the Flint Hills. It's really beautiful out here in the summer. I like to get on my motorcycle and take my wife for a ride peacefully out through the hills. And, you know, it really gets you close to the Father when you see all the beauty, you know, and give him the credit and get your head clear. Anyway, but Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, you know, of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from not only all over the city, but tonight what I'm going to talk about is the neighborhood that we're in. Now, you know, in the neighborhood that we're in, you could probably, I could sit out there on in front and I could point out to you within an hour probably, you know, several prostitutes that are out there, you know, selling themselves and they're pimps. And I can probably point to you, if not, I couldn't, I could get one of the guys to point to me where several crack houses or places where people are selling drugs. We're in one of the worst parts of the city. And, you know, even the homeless questioned when we moved over there, and the police have questioned it, in other words, towards my safety. But, you know, I believe I got a great big angel watching over me, and us, of course. But, you know, it is a place of peace. It's a place of safety. People know it's a sanctuary. I don't allow violence to happen in there. Once in a super great while it happens, but I keep violent people out. And, you know, when people do get kicked out, when they come back and really repentative, you know, I teach them the salvation thing, you know, repent and say you're sorry and you'll be forgiven. And so I allow them to come back, except for, you know, people that are in danger. People leave each other alone. And so it's a place of peace, as it should be. And it's, you know, it's, we really just try to serve the Father by serving the people. And we do that by giving out, you know, first aid, clothing, blankets, Bibles, the gospel, miracle prayers. And boy, we really could use some large print King James Bibles right now. But we really do need monthly and weekly supporters. We need people to bless us. I mean, if you can afford $20 a week, that's a big deal, you know, because you get a couple 20s a week, that's $40, you know. That'll buy something or maybe pay for some gas or, you know, if you donate $100 a month or a couple of $100 a month, it'll help pay a bill, you know, or buy food. And so all donations, you know, count. And charity is what the body of the Messiah is supposed to be doing. I mean, it's all through the word. Okay, great. Government does do things, but government messes everything up. But the predominance of the money that goes to the church is really supposed to be spent on the poor and for the furtherance of the gospel. It's not supposed to be built, put in huge buildings. But anyway, so pray about it. People come to us because we offer them relationships. You know, everybody wants to call us mom and dad, you know. They love us. And they love us because we showed them love first. We help them without judgment. If you help somebody without judgment, when they get to that breaking point, they will come to you and they will ask, well, you know, can you help me? You know, meaning that as they do with us, I need a prayer. I know I can go no further. I need a prayer. Please pray for me. They come from miracle prayers. And believe me, miracle prayers happen there all the time. And, you know, so pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father knows all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And really, if you don't want to support, you know, the poor or the mission church, pray about this radio program. Just as the last gentleman that was on the program talked about how much of a blessing this program was because it's warning of the time that we're in. Well, you know, I didn't ask him to brag about the program. I don't ever impose upon a guest to get them to talk about what I do. But I will say this. We are there getting that warning message out to you. And so if you're being blessed by this radio program, pray about supporting airtime because airtime costs. Right now we're trying to transition into doing video. But I need a video camera and a few other things that I don't have, and I don't have money for that. So pray about it. If you want to see us moving forward, pray about supporting radio. Anyway, enough of me talking, and let's get back and hear some more of what Steve Henderson's saying about these end times and this time that we are in. Back to you, Steve.
Pastor Dan, blessings to your ministry. I hope that people will emulate what you're doing in their areas. There's no greater thing to be than a servant. and to be the hands and hearts of the Lord. That's how the hearts get cultivated, and then the seed is put in the ground, in the good ground. And may your ministry bring 100-fold to you and to your ministry, brother.
Amen. We're just here to serve the Father.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. It's all about Him. But we got to just get out of the way and recognize that it's not our doctrinal dissertations that are important, but it's how we treat one another and how we how we love one another. That's how many one another commandments do you find in Scripture? I think I recognize around 100 or more. So we ought to be paying more attention to that, brother.
Amen.
Well, quite a while ago, a popular songwriter envisioned a world full of peace and sent a lyric that more and more of Earth's inhabitants are lining up under. In fact, it was sung in a New Year's Eve celebration on TV, and the song was entitled Imagine, and it kind of goes like this. Imagine no possession. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Well, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Imagine a world, brother, where the Buddhists and the Hindus and Islam and Christians and the Jewish believers, all of them clasp hands and get together and become one force for good and a force that will go out and do a reckoning with the evils of society and have a unity and cohesiveness with one another, a oneness, if you will. And I find this before our very eyes taking place. And on the surface, it just looks so good, and it sounds so good. And in fact, it's a Christian message. But the message is mingled. I believe it's mingled with a strange brew of not only the religious at the moment, but also the secular society is also promoting unity and oneness. And when you look at certain prophecies, like in Isaiah 47, where it's talking about this woman who what's going to save him from looking toward the astrologers and the prognosticators and the soothsayers and the palm readers and all the astrologers and this type of stuff, this New Age movement, they are also promoting a oneness. And so there's a spring brew of not only the religious but secular promoting this. And in a video promoting the World Oneness Day just recently, I looked in the website from the GlobalOneSummit.org. You might want to check it out sometime. The writer puts out a vision very clearly. He says, the realization of oneness is blossoming at an unprecedented rate in humanity's history. This collective awakening is bringing about a convergence of multiple streams of spirituality and diverse fields of science. Consider how the emerging new paradigm of oneness is being validated and expanded through leading-edge mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology, biofeedback, and other advanced technologies. An ancient and contemporary wisdom hold that we are one with the divine, each other, and all of life. If we take the time to examine our sacred text and contemporary wisdom, we will see this true also. This has a profound implication on each of us. It speaks to who we are and how we organize to create true quality in our life, and as a family, as a community, and globally. And when we embrace our oneness, our real work begins. It is not enough to understand what oneness is. We must embody it if we are to have any real and lasting meaning. Friend, when we look at the gathering of these groups, it comes across so very well, and the principles in which they are propagating are very right and proper. I don't see any problem in all of us getting together and becoming peacemakers to the world. and trying to formulate a plan that's going to create a strategy to get rid of violence and terrorism and you know and incitements of hatred and evil. And this type of concept is being emulated before our very eyes. In a recent article published by the Jerusalem Post just 2 weeks ago, brother, this one entitled, "All Those Who Love Jerusalem Must Do Utmost to Prevent the Religious War in a Holy City." What's going on over there is, of course, as you understand, Hamas and Hezbollah and the Palestinian Authority and others they're around stabbing Jewish people, and there's a great incitement on the Temple Mount, and which is extremely prophetic also. Someday we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit. But right now, the President, Reuven Rivlin, is condemning violence, terrorism, and incitement, and he's advocating fraternity, harmony, and peace. And in his article, it says, "The initiative for bringing leaders of the Council of Faith Communities to the President's residence was that of Oded Weiner, the Director General of the Office of the Chief Rabbinate, who said that such a meeting was necessary in the present climate of violence and terrorism." The speakers in that particular conference, brother, included Sephardi Chief Rabbi of Jerusalem Shlomo Amar, the Druze spiritual leader Sheikh Muwakkaf Tarif, Greek Patriarch of Jerusalem Theophilus III, Chairman of the Council of Muslim Religious Leaders, Sheikh Mohammed Kailan Abi Ali, and Aksani, the Chief Rabbi David Lau was also, along with 15 other religious representatives that the President of Israel had gotten together, including Dr. Joshua Lincoln, the Secretary General of the Baha'i International Community. If you are aware of that group, they are a global mindset of getting all the religions together in one place also. But he was not a speaker. But in this particular article, it continues on to say that through this unity, we have enhanced our understanding of each other's faith, adding, "Even when we cannot agree on how to solve problems, we do not allow such disagreements to disrupt our friendship, and we continue to contribute religious practice, wisdom, and understanding with the aim of creating calm and persuading people in our respective communities to respect each other because we're all children of one God. There is terror in Europe and the Middle East and a civil war in Syria. All religious people must honor other human beings without religious or ethnic bias. There is no such thing as violence in the name of religion. Religion is not a vehicle for violence," he insisted, "but a vehicle for love and peace." So what I find interesting is this movement is coming up to the forefront, and they have an awesome, awesome message. The message is, let's provide a climate of peace and be peacemakers, and let's get rid of this this movement toward hatred and toward prejudice against one another. On the website of the Parliament of World Religions, and brother, you ought to take a look at this one. This is a shocking group, and they have a lot of people worldwide, over 700 groups put together, that it's a worldwide entity that's standing up and speaking out against this type of carnage. And one of their guiding principles is speaking out and putting together a strategy to stop hate and war. And on their website, they speak out against that, one of their guiding principles, one of the things they're against, and they propagate this. In 2015, there are just under 50 armed conflicts occurring around the globe, innumerable hate crimes in both developed and developing nations, the use of terrorism to achieve short and long-term objectives, new technologies to inflict damage and death, violence in both urban and rural communities, record numbers of instances of domestic and gender and sexual violence across national boundaries, and hate speech against members of ethnic, cultural, and religious communities. It continues, "A defensible case can be made that violent conflict is less prevalent now than other times in human history. What seems unarguable is, whatever the era, hate and violence, terrorism and war are woven into humanity's garments, and that religion is an essential dimension of humanness and it is a significant part of the warp and woof of those blood-stained garments. Still, there is another essential dimension of humanity that is significantly shaped by religious values. The sight of human species and its religions that express compassion and care, not only for one's own, but for those who are the other, the alien, the stranger, that seeks reconciliation and works for justice and peace among those who would otherwise be foes, that foster cooperation and altruism across traditional boundaries, and that counsels the search for mutual understanding and provides instruction in disciplines of nonviolence. These two are deeply embedded in the sacred texts and teachings, the traditions and literature, the institutions and practices of faith communities. Like humanity itself.
Let me ask you a question. Before it gets too long, and you can continue on, I want you to give that website real slow one time.
Sure. SureWordProphecy.org.
Well, I'm talking about this other website that you're talking about that you were reading from. Weren't you reading, or are you reading this from your website?
Yes, that was, let me get back to that here.
Or you
it's
could
the
just,
Parliament of World Religions, okay? That's the
Parliament?
Parliament of World Religions, yes.
Okay.
It's a worldwide group that are putting all the religions into one basket, and they have some very, very admirable goals in mind to bring the religious sector together. And this is what I see in prophecy. At some point in time, the secular hands are going to be thrown up and so overwhelmed by the overwhelming scourge of war and the other things that Yeshua speaks of that are going to take place before his return, that they are going to turn to this group of people, and they will become a major factor in bringing together a defensible case to put a strategy together that will help the world to resist and embrace peace instead of hate and violence and war. And the World Parliament of Religions is a website that you need to check out. There's also United Religions Initiative that you also need to check out, brother. I don't think I'll be able to get to all of this in one setting, but there are a bunch of groups that are saying the same thing, and I believe at the end, the beast will get together with the world that will line up on its side, because it comes across as something very, very just and proper. And as I'm reading these statements, it's very clear to me that there's not a thing wrong with their expressions of intent. It says, like humanity itself, the religions of humans are complex and can therefore be seen as ambiguous. In that complexity and ambiguity, however, there have been exemplary people of particular faiths who have resisted the temptation either to embrace hate, violence, and war, or to be muddled in their commitments, silent and immobile in the face of hostility and conflict. And yes, brother, we've got to stand up. And we got to speak out. And I really believe that. And what's the old adage? Evil prevails because good people keep silent. And so this group, this massive force, worldwide force, is getting together and they're clasping hands that we have to do something to bring about change. And these exemplary people of faith and conscience have chosen to align themselves with the elements of the religious tradition, and they affirm all-embracing love, compassion, and care, that affirm the priority of reconciliation, mutuality, and peacemaking, that affirm the disciplines of nonviolence to achieve justice and vital, creative, and inclusive communities of humans flourishing across the globe. And you can't find any fault in that. This finds expression also in another interfaith movement toward a global and ethnic oneness or cohesiveness. There's just so many of them I can share. Pastor Dan,
I want to talk anyway with you. I find a lot of I know about because there's interfaith people that, try to work together to do this or do that. When the problem with interfaith, though, and working with other religions is then you, like a lot of people, they find themselves, well, they say, well, those guys are good people, but there's only one way to Messiah. And yeah. When we start intermingling with other religions, it takes away from our faith. And it's not something
Absolutely.
We're supposed to do. We're supposed to witness against those things, because I don't care how peaceful a movement is. If it's not of Christ, it's not something we should indulge ourselves with, because it's of the darkness. Anything
Absolutely.
That's not of light is darkness. And so
Absolutely.
This is a movement that would be indeed behind the beast. And we're not talking about, we're talking about Satan the beast, the one, that, the
Absolutely.
Antichrist that comes back to you.
And we need to be aware of it, brother. We need to be on alert, because it is a moving force as we speak. And I believe with all of my heart, this is a very sinister, satanic movement that comes across, and the whole world's going to buy into it. It says that
yeah.
every person is going to wander after the beast, those who have not had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we, as Christians, are kind of single-minded. We are kind of a group of people that are peculiar, because we believe that there is only one path to God, and that's through Yeshua the Messiah, and not through a group of religious leaders who will clasp hands and try to formulate a plan, because we don't all serve the same God. There is only one true God, and the Lord Yeshua is the one who bought us with a price and paid the penalty of our death and died a death for us and was risen from the grave, sits at the right hand of his Father, and makes intercession for us on a daily basis. And to include anyone or any other thing in on our faith is a spiritual whoredom, and that is exactly what I see taking place in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 17 and 18. A woman who has a cup in her hand full of abominations, and the world is sipping from the cup. And they are drunken by the wine of her fornication. And I'll tell you what, brother, we better wake up, and we better find a way to the Almighty Shadow, because we are about ready to find ourselves involved in this movement. That at the time, one day we're going to wake up, and we're going to find things have seriously changed in rapidity. And Yeshua said, "As a snare, it will come upon the whole earth." So watch and be careful, and make sure that your heart is not weighed down with the cares of this life, that this day comes upon you unaware. We should not be ignorant of the Satan's devices, and he's using this as his device to bring the whole world together as one.
Yeah, amen. Very good said, and that's what needed to be said, brother. And that's the point. The whole world, I believe that the whole world is going to be so tired of war and all of the trouble and all of that, that they could fall right into this, that it could be very well, they could fall right into it. We need to be on our toes. We are in that time of the end, and it's not getting the time of the end shorter. I mean, we're getting into the more and more attempt part of it. We should be able to see that from the veil being lifted across this country with all the crazy sex and all the things that's going on right in front of our eyes. And I mean right in front of our eyes. More and more every day you see on the internet where women and men are taking their clothes off in public and having sex in public, and kids are texting their nude bodies everywhere, and it's just getting more and more corrupt. And the only thing that will pull us from that corruptness is Yeshua. Well, it's time to say goodbye. You need to please give your address again, and then admit that you'll come back again.
Okay, brother. SureWordProphecy.org. Pastor Dan, love you, man. Appreciate the invitation. Hope to talk to you sometime soon.
All right. You be blessed, brother. Bye-bye. Goodbye and shalom. Well, folks, that was Steve Henderson, and he says very right. Good intentions paved the pathway to, that Hades place, That's that point. We need to follow the Bible. The Bible says there's only one way to the Father, only one way to the Father, and only through him. And if anything else is darkness, we need to witness to them to bring him to that, bring people to that one way. Now, before I say my going out, I really do implore you. It's the end of the month. I need help for radio airtime, and pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church tonight or whenever you hear this video. Anyway, remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and his sign is he gave his life for repented sins, and he said what? He'd rise after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the sign of Jonah. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. The Father said, I'll know my people by those that keep my Sabbath. My Sabbath. We're keeping Sabbath right here in this Passover week. Are you keeping the feast? You need to do that. Are you keeping the weekly Sabbath? That's the first feast. You need to be keeping those things. In fact, it says have a holy, you people that say you don't have to go to church, we have to have a holy meeting because the first feast, it says that you must. Anyway, remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.